Brian Burke is with us as he joins us every Thursday morning, and he is here with us once again. We've been looking forward to this one. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys.
What was your takeaway from last night and in overtime and everybody screaming murder, essentially, after the San Jose OT win?
Why, what happened?
And it's that insight that brings you.
That's Brian Burke, everybody, every Thursday on Sportsnet 650.
Well, it was, this has been, I think in the Chinese astrological calendar, it's the year of the boar, but it's really the year of the zebra. It's crazy right now. It's absolutely crazy what's happened in this playoff. Everyone will remember this year. What they should remember is a record number of upsets. Tampa Bay out quickly, Washington out quickly, sweeps, Islanders sweep, like crazy playoff results. But what they're going to remember is poor officiating. And we saw it again last night. Hand pass should have been whistled. Plays not reviewable. Officials did the right thing and didn't make something up. Skated off. St. Louis loses a heartbreaker. And so San Jose gets a miracle call again. Because the game was not going their way, in my opinion, at that point. So, and everyone says, oh, we got to do this. We got to add replay. So talk just briefly, generally, about replay. Replay was brought in reluctantly. In every sport, you guys know this, it was fought, it was battled back in every sport for one reason and one reason only. We want to make sure the most important customers we have, which are the people who buy seats, aren't sitting there through 10 and 12 minute delays for review. That was the delay. It was never like, oh, let's continue to make mistakes. It was, we can't make this product unwatchable. So it came in reluctantly. It came in on a very limited scope. Now, as Gary Bettman said very, very wisely and with great prescience back at the time, he said, be careful what you wish for, because it is a Pandora's box. So last night, everyone's outraged over the hand pass. We need to review that. But David Perron shot a puck out of the rink, too, that was missed. Do we need to review that? And I'm telling you where I come out on this. I come out that we need two standards to review. We need a playoff standard, and we need a regular season standard. And I know purists will say, that's insane. It absolutely has to be a double standard. There has to be a higher standard of review. That play had to have been reviewed last night. If they lose game number 36 in December or January, that's one thing. Losing that game last night is another. So I'm changing. I'm an anti-review guy. I think what we have is good. We should very carefully limit any expansion of it, not in the playoffs.
Yeah, Brian, I think we're on the same page, because I was saying, too, who cares about a game January 10th if there's a call in the second period that affects?
But what if 2 points separates you from a playoff spot?
No, we want to get it right, but we can live with human. We've always had human error in officiating. Just ask the New Orleans Saints. And we're always going to have. This is the part that cracks me up. When we went to Toronto for review on the goalie interference, everyone said, oh, good, now that's going to be clear. No, it's not. You're just substituting someone else's judgment on matters which are very subjective. I can't tell you, if the three of us watch a hockey game together in my basement, which I hope we'll never do, for God's sake,
we would
argue about goalie interference calls till we were blue in the face. So we'll never get it right all the time. There's a human element to it. There has been from the very beginning of pro sports. There will be. But the fact is, we've got to get more of these things right at critical times in the playoffs.
Well, and you wonder if you could leave it, and our poll question today is, could you kind of leave it to the referee's discretion? And 83% of the people say, yeah, that's what I'd rather have. Because, maybe once a game, maybe once every 10 games, do you see the officials huddling because they're trying to get everyone's opinion because they may have missed it. To me, that's when, all right, no four, we didn't see it, guys, let's go ask. I don't think it happens that often. Will this be paramount in the summertime for management, Board of Governors, to go, let's come up with some kind of solution?
Well, I think the Cody Eakin call and last night's call, which directly impacted the outcome of playoff games, I think that's changed the stakes in the poker game. I think it's up the ante. I'm trying to use as many cliches as I can.
You're doing great today.
I really do. I think it's changed things. Because now, a home playoff game in Las Vegas, had they advanced, they were up 3-0 in the game. Had they advanced, a home playoff gate in Vegas, I'm guessing, is worth $2 million to the team. Now, the league takes a good chunk of your playoff revenue to pay the players and so on, but it's a big payday. And by advancing, you can raise your ticket prices more. You get higher renewals. It's a huge economic factor that clearly, now mind you, they gave up 4 goals on the power play, which I've never seen in my life. I've never seen more than 2 on a 5-minute major. And they, Marc Gasol got that game in overtime. So they had a chance to win the game. This call did not end the game for them, but it cost them the game. They were in cruise control, up 3-0.
There's a fact that...
So say it cost them short-term $10 million and over the next 10 years, $100 million. Yeah, that's a little different stakes than a game 36 in December.
Well, and also we had the commissioner this year, and you see more states now there are that you can gamble in. Does that not have something to do with it too, in a sense that, hey, we better make sure we get it right because we're also jumping into bed, and that's part of the business of sports too.
Yes, that's clearly a factor. I'm not ready to put my name on that yet, even though I know you're right. I don't care about I'm not sure going into gambling. I think if it goes on and we should get our piece, but I'm not 100% comfortable with or happy about that little marriage.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. Obviously, a lot to discuss with what went down last night. Some other NHL news that's gone down over the last few days, including the Buffalo Sabres naming Ralph Krueger head coach. What do you make of the hire, a guy who, you know, had to wait, what, I guess almost 8 years before he finally got another crack behind an NHL bench? A little unconventional, maybe? What do you think of it?
It's unconventional. And because it's unconventional, that's what I said last night on TV. I said, look, I like Ralph Krueger. I've known him for years. He's a good guy, and he's a good hockey man. He's very, very smart. I'm not sure this is the right place and time for him, given where the Buffalo team is. I think a more veteran team or a team that was farther along, maybe more competitive, this might work. And I hope it does work, by the way, because Buffalo needs it, and Ralph's a good guy. My skepticism about this, I hope people jam it right down my throat in 2 years and say, yeah, you scoffed at this. I'm not scoffing at it. It's high risk when you go off the chart to hire a coach. And I listed some improbable hirings, off-the-chart hirings from the past, many of which did not work out well at all. So this, in my view, will either be a spectacular success or a spectacular failure, and I'm leaning toward the latter of the two. I'm not sure why they went this route, and boy, do I hope I'm wrong, because this is a quality guy.
Craig McTavish just this morning announcing that he's going to coach in the KHL. Is that Ken Holland, do you think, just starting to figure out what they have and who's around that organization and not cleaning house, but going, okay, I'm in charge and maybe you're not in my plans?
Well, I did not see that. I got a text from Mike, the producer, that back he said he was going to Russia. It was news to me, but my first reaction, like a police officer just arriving on the scene of the crime, is, yeah, this was, I think Kenny Holland's going to make some change. I think fans in Edmonton are going to demand that some of the, what they perceive as the old boy network, the group that led them into this morass, that they have to pay the iron price, as they said in Game of Thrones. And I think there's going to be more names that you recognize that are no longer part of the Oilers organization going forward.
You're just killing with pop culture today. Hey, Sebo?
He's all over it.
You're all over it.
He's like the mother of dragons.
Bachelorette reference before we're done here.
Brian, tell me this. Earlier this week, Brendan Shanahan gets his extension in Toronto as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Does Jim Benning need a guy like that here in Vancouver? I know we've talked about this back at the early in the beginning of the season, but... You know, the type of personality that Jim is, I mean, you know, it strikes me, and I guess this is pumping your tires a little bit, but you were a guy who could kind of handle the microphones and shaking hands and kissing babies if need be. You know, Jim doesn't seem to be comfortable in that role, and would he benefit from having a guy like that to work with? And does anybody want to take that job, I guess, right now, like a president of hockey ops or whatever it may be?
Well, thank you for the compliment. I could tell how reluctantly those words came
from
your lips.
I feel dirty now.
One of my strengths as a GM, okay, so as a GM, the number one thing is, can you win games? Can you fix teams? Can you turn programs around? All those things. And you guys can judge whether it's good at that or not. But one thing I was great at was being active in the community, not only on the charity side, because that's important to me, but also the corporate speaking that goes with being a GM of a Canadian team. You know, there's Chamber of Commerce, there's Rotary Clubs, there's the number of requests is in the hundreds a year. And what the one thing I think I did for Bradshaw Living really effectively in Calgary was take almost all of that off his plate. So he didn't have to do the season ticket holder renewal meetings, which are very important. But other than that, I did 80% of that for him. And so I think that the team benefits from it. Forget Benji. If Benji doesn't have to worry about that, if Joe Smith is the new president of hockey operations, respected guy, and can take all that off and go to the governor's meetings, take those meetings off his plate, I think there's tremendous value there. I don't think Jim Benning needs a president of hockey operations. I think he's veteran enough. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's smart. Sometimes Jimmy comes off in his interviews as he doesn't know what he's doing because he speaks plainly. And that's gotten me in trouble many times as well. But the fact is, he's a sharp guy. I had him as a player. I really respected him when I had him as a player. We sent him to Milwaukee after years and years in the NHL. He was a leader. He was a great veteran. Like, he's a quality person and a good guy, and he's a lot smarter than most people think he is. I don't think he needs that. Could it take some stuff off his plate and maybe buff up the image of the Canucks a little bit? For sure.
So do you think they'd hire another body here?
No.
You don't think they will, huh?
Nope.
From Jim Benning, and you talk about character and leader and stuff. I don't know if you know, there was an article in Russia this week that came out with Pavel Bure speaking about his time in Vancouver. And what year did he talked about leaving Vancouver, and then he went.
He said he wanted out in 93 and then ultimately got dealt by Brian in 99.
What do you make of something like that? Was Pavel pouting, for lack of a better word, for a longer time than it was before he was finally moved?
Well, I don't know. If you want to go back, remember in 94, the story broke that Pavel went to Pat Quinn and said, unless you give me an extension, I'm not playing in the finals. Remember that?
Yep.
And the team never came out and definitively peed on it, you know, like no Brian Burke response, where I would have said it's ridiculous, this and that. So we just assumed it was true, but years later I asked Pat about it. I said to Pat, was that true? And he said, no. He said, Pavel never did that. He said, I doubt I would have used him in the finals if he did that. He said, I probably would have sat him out. He said, no, he never did that. So when I took over, my first meeting, Pavel says, I'm not going to play. I want to trade. And he said, I've asked for a trade before. He said, if you'd have been here this whole time since you left, I wouldn't be doing this to you, but I want to trade. And I said, well, I'm not, Pavel, if you play, I can trade you in 30 days. Give me 30 days. I'll trade you by November 15th, December 1st. Give me 45 days. And he said, no. I said, well, then you're not going to get traded till January. There won't be a GM desperate enough to pay the price I need to get for you until January. So, no, you have to know, as you walk out of my office, you're going to be out until January sometime. And he was. And I was infuriated. Mike Gillis was the agent, was of no help whatsoever. And I said, you're going to cost this kid a lot of money and really hurt his image and his reputation. And he should play. I can get him out of here. I guarantee I'll trade him. And as it was, I don't think I got full value for Pavel Bure. I think I got good value for a distressed sale, but I don't think that was fair value. Eddie Joe Monofsky was a joy and a good player. First-round pick, some other stuff, but I don't think we got enough back in that deal. When everyone knows you have to trade the guy, guess what? You're not going to see full value.
Mike Gillis' name gets considered by in Seattle hockey circles as a guy who could possibly run that hockey team. What do you think of that idea of Mike Gillis in Seattle?
I have not heard his name in contention there, and I've talked to them at length. I don't believe that he's in contention there at all.
Is it hard? You mentioned Kruger comes back. Mike's been away. Is it tough to get, I'm not going to say back into the game, but can you learn from being away from the game, Brian? I mean, you're always in it in different avenues. I mean, is that part of the reason you look at Buffalo and go, boy, that's a bold stroke they're taking, where the guy has been running a soccer team for the last little bit?
Well, you need to get back in. Okay, so I get out. My first time I leave Hartford, I go to the league. Then I come out and I go to Vancouver. My contract's not renewed in 04. And then you're on the outside, not getting paid for a year, working for CBC, then TSN. And you start to wonder, is that phone ever going to ring? Well, there wasn't any hockey for a year. No one's hiring a GM. So then you get back in with Anaheim. The first job that opened up, I got. So I felt better about that. Then I come to Toronto. A lot of work for, I don't know, was it maybe 24 hours? And Anaheim puts me on as a pro scout. Then Calgary comes knocking. But when you're on the outside trying to get back in, it's frustrating. You start to wonder, is that phone ever going to ring? And sometimes it doesn't. There's some guys who never got back in. So I don't know, I don't know what Mike's situation is. I heard he was teaching law school or whatever. But, I mean, I have talked to people in Seattle, not about me going there, but about some other candidates. And they've never mentioned his name to me. So I don't know if that's just my lack of information or.
Would you have an interest, or are you just falling in love with
no,
the media?
I'm out. Not interested in getting back in. I sleep in my own bed every night. I drove my daughters to school this morning. I'm enjoying a new schedule and a new life, so no, I'm out. And it's not, I wouldn't be interested in Seattle. I think it's going to go great there. Todd Leiwicki's involved. Tim Leiwicki's involved. I love those guys. Jerry Bruckerman's involved. He's a friend of mine. It would be a magical fit if I wanted to do that commute again. My daughters are, the younger one has 4 years of high school left. And I'm not doing that coast-to-coast commute, which I did the entire time. The 11 years I was in Vancouver and Anaheim, I flew back to see my kids every other weekend on my own dime. And I'm very proud of that as a dad, but I don't want to do it again.
No, I knew that, and I was always respected you for that when I knew how many miles you logged. What is your best go-to help with your daughter, who's what then, grade 9? What subject do you excel in when she looks for help?
Oh, I can't help them with anything. The stuff they do at their school... I stopped helping them with math homework when they were in grade 5. Like, you can't believe how sophisticated these kids are now. And we make fun of millennials. They are so much smarter than we are and so much better educated. So I'm like, no, I can't help her. I can help her with history. I can help her with English. But the math homework, I've been out of that arena for about 5 years.
Well, we like to think you help us every Thursday.
Well, we're glad you're not doing that commute anymore, because we're happy that you're part of our team, my friend. So no matter how grudgingly you might feel about it, we're happy.
We look forward to watching the game with you in your basement. Oh, that'll be fun.
Waiting for that invite.
Yeah, just stand by for that invitation to come in the mail.
I got the phone in my hand. I got the phone in my hand. Have a good weekend.
See ya.
See you guys. You too.
Sportsnet 650.